Welcome, everybody, and you are just tuned in to The Father Show, the show that is guaranteed to change your life, right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org, or you might be watching us on youtube.com/The Father Show. Either way, I'm so happy to have you. I'm your host, Mike Thompson, and we've got a fantastic show for you today. But before we get into the show and before I introduce our guests, The Father Show Resource Program is having this annual food drive for Thanksgiving, and this is feeding fathers and their families who are really in need. So this holiday season, you can help The Father Show Resource Program by providing a week's worth of food to families in need. All we're asking is for just a $10 tax-deductible donation, and more if you can afford it. And or you can give non-perishable items, and which will help us feed these struggling families. To make a monetary donation, just go to the Father Show Resource Program website at www.thefathershowrp.org and click on support and then click on donation and just make your donations right there. If you want to give some perishable items, we will be collecting them on Saturday, November 12th, and Sunday, November 13th, from 10 to 1 o'clock p.m., and that will be located at 15640 East 6th Avenue in Aurora, Colorado, 811 zip code. And we'll have a truck out there just parked in the parking lot, so feel free to just bring your food out there. If you can't get there and you really want to donate some perishable items, give me a call and we'll see if we can get somebody to come out there and pick it up. But and if you would like to volunteer, you can do that also. Just give me a call at 720-280-4793 or send me an email at mike@thefathershowrp.org. Either way, please give a hand, and it'll help a lot of fathers. We did a great job last year, and we had some fathers that really needed help. And one story that really just stands out is a young man that was raising two girls on his own because his wife committed suicide. And it really was a heartbreaking ordeal, and these are teenage girls, and we all know how, no offense being a lady, we know how hard teenage girls can be, especially on a father. But it was such rewarding and felt good to be able to provide food for him and his two kids. So you really will be helping out a lot of kids, and all we're asking for is just a $10 donation, and you can always give more. But at least give 10, and we'll be so thankful for you to do that. So to guess, today, our guest is a lady that has been working in the court system, and I have been excited ever since I found out I'm going to have her on the show. It's been something I've been kind of bouncing out of my seat because I'm really excited to be able to talk to somebody really from the court system that knows the struggles that us men have been going through for years and dealing with the court system when you're going through a divorce. And this is a great show. This is going to be a show that I know you're going to learn some. And ladies, you're going to learn something as well, because really, ultimately, we want the kids to be out of this divorce. We want the kids to be away from, any battle that you may be having with your former spouse or soon-to-be former spouse. So because the kids don't have anything to do with this and they need to stay out of it. So today we have Dr. Marlene Bishop.
Yes.
And she is really been working in the court system for a long time. So, you know, we were just talking before we started the show how we can usually give our story better than the other person.
Yes.
So I'm gonna let you tell your story. Tell them how, what you do and why you do it.
Okay, I have worked in the court system for 18 years as a court evaluator.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently wrote a book, which we'll talk about a little later.
Absolutely.
Because I am passionate about people not going through this process in such a contentious manner. We do need to leave the kids out of it. That's the biggest message of the book. but I have a passion about not having such a contentious divorce as what most people do if I'm involved in the case. Mm-hmm. In order for me to be on the case, the people have to be fighting because I'm an evaluator and they bring me in when people can't figure this out themselves. But it's always better if people figure it out themselves. You know your children better than anyone else. And so to have a judge decide who doesn't know you, doesn't know your children, it's not effective. It's much more effective if you figure it out. And again, if you leave your kids out of it.
Yeah, because, you know, it irritates me when, you know, they're fighting over the kids or they're putting the kids in the middle of the divorce. And, you know, the kids already think, in my opinion, they already think they're to blame.
Yes.
And you are sticking them in the middle like, you know, you got to hate your dad or you got to hate your mom. And you really, if you think about it, you're asking your kids to hate their parent just because you as an adult who chose that other parent.
Yes.
Have decided that you don't like each other for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, and I know mm-hmm. there's some legitimate reasons sometimes, maybe cheating or maybe alcohol or maybe bipolar, whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. But however, whatever it is, you chose that person.
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, you should be doing whatever it is to, in a sense, and I know, in my opinion, women tend to say, well, I'm trying to protect my child. And I'm like, really? Are
yeah.
you trying to really protect your child?
Yeah.
Because what has that spouse, that your husband, done to your child that your child needs protection of?
Right, right. Yeah. And what parents often forget is children derive their identity from their two parents.
Absolutely.
So when you put down one of the parents, you're putting down the child.
Mm-hmm.
You're not turning that child against the parent. You're putting down the child.
Yeah. And the child is the one that's going to suffer in the long run.
Yes.
You know, they're going to have their conflict in, you know, who they are.
Yes.
And what meant, and really, for kids, they have to have both parents in their life.
Yes.
You know, I'm just a big advocate for that. They need both parents in their life unless you can really prove that that other parent is going to be harmful.
Right.
So let me ask you. So I think being harmful to your child is wrong. But isn't it harmful to the child when you are putting them in the middle or trying to so-called protect them from the father when
Absolutely.
He hasn't done anything?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And what we forget is it's the conflict between the parents that is harmful to the children mm-hmm. more than whatever they're fighting about.
Mm-hmm.
They fight about the most, I hate to say, ridiculous things.
Oh, yeah.
But they really do. You know, the exchange location or what time on a holiday. They fight about all those things that don't matter.
Yeah.
But exposing the kids to the conflict is the greatest harm.
Well, yeah, and I was reading an article and it says on average a divorce will cost, you know, attorney charged
yes.
$215 an hour. So if you're fighting over a lamp,
yes.
And you're spending that attorney's time at $215
mm-hmm.
an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really make any sense?
Right. You could buy a whole lot of lamps.
Oh, you can buy a whole lamp. Let the lamp go. Let
yes.
them. Shoot, when I got divorced, and we talked about this before the show, I've been divorced twice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got my first divorce, I was like, look, you can have the house. You can have all the furniture in the house. All I took was my clothes and my music equipment. That stuff got to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I can care less because it's all replaceable.
Yes.
But I'm not going to sit up here and argue with you and fight with you for a lamp or dishes or whatever it
right.
may be. You know, it's just like, look, you can have it. You want
mm-hmm.
it? Take it.
Mm-hmm.
I go out and get some more.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Some people want to fight just for the sake of fighting.
True.
And to win.
Yeah.
They want to win.
They want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some, you know, people like to fight. They like to argue. They like to cause conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, didn't you know that before you married a person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
like I always say, there was something you liked about them at some time.
Yeah. And all, bottom line, ultimately, that is the mother or the father of your kids.
Yes.
That's the most important part of it, the whole thing. whatever you two did as an adult, that's something that you did and something the two of you decided to do. So
right.
The kids came later on. That was something that you probably planned or didn't plan, whatever the case may be, but they have no business in it. But
yes.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
But when we get back, we'll get back into that because I know we're going to have a hard time today. But you're watching The Father Show, and this is a show that we're going to be talking about what goes on in the court system. But if you are a man and you need some resources, go to The Father Show Resource Program at www.thefathershowrsandresourcespsandprogram.org. Click on your state and find the resources that you need. If you can't find what you're looking for, give us a call at 720-280-4793 or shoot us an email at mike@thefathershowrp.org and we'll see what we can do by helping finding you the resources that you need. But don't go anywhere. Tell somebody else to join us because we've got Dr. Marlene Bishop here and she is going to tell us really what goes on in the court system and how we can come out of that maybe better. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Father Show, and we are talking with Dr. Marlene Bishop, and we are talking about what goes on in the court system. And so before we took a break, we were really talking about what goes on and what happens in the courts and how fighting between the parents is really detrimental to the kids. And that's one of the messages that I hope we get out in this show because it really irritates me when parents are fighting and the kids are suffering because the two of you are just at each other's throat and you're talking about each other. You're talking about the other parent within the child's ear so they can hear it. And that irritates me to no end. And one reason it bothers me is because I have a daughter that when I went through divorce, she was 5 years old. She is now 25, and I still see the effect mm-hmm. it had on her.
Yes.
And her mom, up until probably five years ago, she had finally stopped.
Mm.
Up until that point, mm-hmm. it was always something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, I know the last incident, she came over and she said, you know, you abandoned your daughter. And I'm like, what in the heck are you talking about? I abandoned my daughter. All the stuff you did to keep mm-hmm. me away from my daughter, but you're going to say I abandoned her?
Mm-hmm.
And it took everything in my powers not to pick that woman up and throw her out of my house. I was so close.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I do understand how you feel, but
mm-hmm.
what happens? I don't know. Let me ask you this. What are some of the things that a man should know before he's going into court for divorce?
Well, one thing you mentioned is parents talking in front of children. They also talk to the children.
True.
They
yeah.
will often use them as their confidant.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be that. They're children.
Or they go between.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes.
Yeah, tell
They'll
your
send
daddy.
Messages.
Yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. So don't put your children in that position. Don't use them to be messengers. Don't use them as your confidant.
Mm-hmm.
That is adult work,
yeah.
and it needs to be done by adults.
Yeah.
Kids don't need to hear all that.
No, they don't, and they don't. they need to see you guys getting along.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Even if you don't like each other,
right.
Get along in front of the kids.
Right.
Now, when
right.
you get behind closed doors, you can cuss that person out
exactly.
all you want to.
Or when you're talking to your friend, that's
yeah.
fine.
As long as the kids don't hear.
Right. Right. Yeah. But in front of them, no.
No. I agree.
Parents need to focus on the kids and not each other. Mm-hmm. I can always tell when I'm in a case and the parents are focusing on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell. And I can tell when they're focusing on the kids.
So how can you tell?
Because you will hear the talk about the kids and their needs instead of about the other parent.
Okay.
When they're always talking about, he did this, she said that, then I know that's what the kids are hearing. When they're telling me what the kids need, you know, he needs to get to soccer practice on this day and I can't mm-hmm. do it and I need dad's help or, mm-hmm. you know, I need mom's help, whatever it may be. Mm. But they're talking about the kids' needs.
Yeah.
And that's when I know they're focused on the kids.
And that's where the focus should be.
Yes.
Really.
And when they can speak positively about the other parent to the kids.
Okay. Yeah.
When they say, you're going to have a good time with your mom this weekend. You know, that
yeah.
kind of thing. Or you are just like your dad in your kindness and your giving or, you know, whatever it may be.
I'm glad you add to that extra into that because I was like, really? You're just like your daddy.
Yeah, that isn't always positive.
Right.
When people say that.
Usually
they don't
it
always
isn't.
Mean right. Right.
But that is, it is good to be able to say you're just like your dad in
a positive
kind way.
Respect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. That I haven't heard that one. Now, in your estimation, do you think there's sexism alive in the court system today?
Absolutely. And there's not supposed to be. There's in Colorado, we're in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
there is not supposed to be a gender bias in the courts.
So how did it get that far?
I mean, how it got there, I don't know, but yeah. I know it persists because you can tell people all day long, the statute reads this.
Mm-hmm.
But those beliefs and those values persist. And for years, we had moms who raised kids. They were the ones that got kids up, got them to school,
yeah.
got them to appointments and activities, got homework done with them, that kind of thing. Dad had them on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we don't have every other weekend dads as much.
Yeah.
But it just, old biases die hard.
Well, yeah, because your kids need both their parents, and we talked about
yes.
that a little bit. And to say to a father that you only get to have your kid every other weekend and one night for dinner
yeah.
through the week, what kind of relationship are you going to build every other weekend?
Right.
Because by the time you get them home, say
mm-hmm.
Friday night,
mm-hmm.
you get up Saturday morning, you get to spend a day, and you get half a Sunday because you got to take them back home.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the kids gets comfortable
mm-hmm.
and gets used to the surroundings that they're in, they got to go back home.
Right, right, exactly. And we also have a whole generation that grew up thinking dads weren't capable of doing homework and taking us to the doctor and things like that.
And
they are capable of that.
Yeah, I hate that. And I tell
mm-hmm.
you know, we were once again talking before the show, and my best friend and my godfather of my son, like I said, used to play for the Broncos,
mm-hmm.
and he was a linebacker for the Broncos, and he could braid his daughter's hair.
Mm-hmm.
He took her to school, picked her up from school, got her dressed. He was a nurturing type, even
yes.
though, I mean, the dude was 6'3", 230, 40 pounds. You know, big dude. I used
yeah.
to tell him, get away from me, because he made me feel small.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, and I know how I've been. I mean, my daughter would only let me. I was the only one other than my mother that she would let comb her hair.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't let her mother mm-hmm. comb it. So men can be nurturing.
Yes.
Men can be can assist their daughters and their sons and a whole bit. So I don't know where that notion came from. I know in the past.
Mm-hmm.
In our parents' generation, more likely, was, you know, the father didn't do. He went out to work, and the mom stayed home.
Right.
But that's just not how society
no.
is today.
No, no. Women work also and have for a long time, and so men need to be nurturing, too.
Yeah.
And they actually usually do better at homework with kids than moms.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did pretty good, I guess.
Yeah.
I did all right. Yeah, I hated it. Some of the stuff they were studying is like, really?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know how long ago that was that
I
was in there?
I
had
know.
To go back to school all over again. I had to keep up with them from kindergarten all the way up because I had to relearn everything that they were learning.
It's a different thing that they learn nowadays, too.
Yeah.
Technology and all that. I can't help my son. Well, my son's 27, but I couldn't help him with technology-related things at all. He has to help me.
Yeah. So do you think that the court system is really looking at the best interests of the child?
I think they try. But again, those old biases die hard.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see in particular is a man can come in and talk about a woman hitting him or in some way abusing him, and everybody laughs.
Right.
A woman only has to say it and everyone believes it. That in particular is the most difficult thing for me to watch because I see women use that.
So why isn't there something in the court system? Because I know that happens quite a bit.
It does.
And women will go in there and lie in the court and nothing happens. No consequences whatsoever.
No.
Why is that?
I wish I knew. That is something that drives me crazy. That when it's proven that that wasn't true, whatever allegation they made, nothing happens to them.
Nothing whatsoever.
No.
And I've talked to a lot of men that that has happened to them. It happened to me, and really nothing.
Right.
Nothing happened to
the
ex at in any way, shape, or form.
Right. And one of the biggest weapons is restraining orders.
Oh,
placing a restraining order on the man.
And just saying, well, and they go in and get it.
Yes.
Just
all you have to do is go in and ask for it and say they did something, and you get it. It's automatic. I know it's hard to believe, but
That's one thing that men need to understand and know, because even though people say, "Well, didn't you know your wife was like that?" And I'm like, honestly, no.
People become different during this time. They will act in ways they've never acted before and will never act again.
That's the key, that they do change.
Yes, and they are capable of anything during this time.
Well, you know, like they say, there's nothing worse than a woman scorned.
Right.
And boy,
hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Boy, that is so true. But we've got to take another break.
Okay.
But when we get back, we're going to keep on talking to Dr. Marlene Bisup, and we're going to be introducing her book here pretty soon. And this is one that just came out. So, Contentious Custody. And this is a fantastic book, and you're going to want to get it. And at the end of the show, we'll let you know how you can do that. But don't go anywhere. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. And you have tuned in to The Father Show, and thank you for joining us today. And today, our guest is Dr. Marlene Bisup. And we are talking about the court system. And we're going to be talking about her new book, Contentious Custody. But we're talking about right now, before we took the last break, how women can get away with walking into the court and saying that this man did this and that and the other, and none of it be true.
Yes.
And nothing is done about it.
Yes.
That is just, I think, one of the most frustrating things for a man to be able to know that that woman can just go in there and lie, say whatever, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. It is a fallacy of the system.
Yeah.
It really is.
And he has to spend time and money.
Yes.
To prove that he didn't do whatever she is complaining, and nothing.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just, oh, okay, well, you got an attorney. You proved yourself innocent. All right, well, see you later.
Yeah, yeah. No repercussions.
No.
I know.
I don't get it.
I know. Well, it's hard to understand, and I don't get it either, to be honest. But one thing I can tell people in general, not just guys, is document everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to document what mm-hmm. you're doing with the kids,
mm-hmm.
all of that, because parents get accused of a lot of things when they have kids, like they got sick on your time. I got them back, and they were sick, you know, that type thing, and you didn't even know they were sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to document everything.
And I'm glad you said that, because I actually tell a lot of men that when I get phone calls, and it's mm-hmm. like, man, write it down.
Yes.
Everything, write it down. Yeah. When you got a phone call from the ex, write it down. When you called her, write it down.
Yes.
So you can go into the court and say, look, Your Honor, on this day, at this time, she said this. But, you know, that same gentleman I was talking about, how we became friends was that he was going through a custody battle when I was going through a custody battle mm-hmm. with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fighting for this, you know, for our kids. And he was recording his conversation with his ex
mm-hmm.
and told the ex that he was recording those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went into court and they said they wouldn't let that be admissible, and told them if he continued to record those conversations, they was going to put him in jail.
Mm.
I mean,
wow.
It was like, you have the law, you can have anything written on the books, but the judge has the idea or the opportunity to change it as he or she feels fit.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of leeway for judges. There really is.
It shouldn't be.
No. I agree.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I don't. And when he told me that, he came out of court and he told me that, I was like, you got to be joking.
Mm-hmm.
But they were going to put him in jail because he was recording his phone conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was even crazier, you know, you go talk with the kids and the families and see which way is the best way for the kid. His daughter was telling the court, I want to live with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
The mom says, I just met this guy online and I'm going to move to his state and you're coming with me.
Mm.
And he took the court, and the court just said, Pip, she's going with the mom. And the daughter said, I want to stay with my dad. Mm. And she was like, about nine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I want to stay with my dad. The court said, nope, you're going with your mother.
Mm. Well, I will say in Colorado, relocation has become much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. So that's a good thing. It used to be exactly like you're describing, that if mom wanted to go, she went, kids went with her. And it's really not that way as much anymore.
Yeah, and I came close to dealing with that myself. My son's mom she called me up one night and she said, well, I want to move to Boulder. I said, fine. Now, my son stayed with me probably 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I want to move to Boulder. And I'm like, fine, go ahead, move. But I'm going to take Savon. I said, no.
No.
That ain't going to happen.
Yes.
She said, well, I'm going to take you to court and tell her you're a bad father. Well, do what you got to do, but mm-hmm. I got stuff written down, so you just
mm-hmm.
go. And I didn't tell her that. I just said, okay, you do what you got to do. But I already had my stuff written down.
Yes.
So.
And again, that's so important to have things documented, because people will go in and say, like with restraining orders, they'll say, well, he harasses me.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to find out, she's the one that placed all the phone calls. And if you have records of that, and I think you dealt with something similar to that too.
Yeah.
And if you have record of that, then it's easier to prove that, no, I didn't do the harassing. I was actually being harassed.
Now, do you see fathers going in to get restraining orders as much as they should?
Rarely. And they sometimes should. They really should. I think moms should not as much as they are, but there are times that dads should.
Yeah.
And they don't, because they're going to be laughed at if they go in and say, I'm being harassed or abused.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to handle it handle it in a manly way, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Yes.
Because if somebody's harassing you to a man, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. that's when a man is going to flip out, in most cases, flip out and go after that person mm-hmm. to get them to leave you alone, because they're, you know, a man just rather go on about his life in most cases, not all.
Right.
Because we do know there are some men that be harassing their ex-wives.
Yes.
Because they want her back. But it's really for men to be able to go in and say, I've been abused mm-hmm. or I've been harassed. They don't take them seriously.
No, they don't.
No, and they should.
They should, yeah. There's plenty of women who are perpetrators of violence.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you know, you watch that show Snap, and where
yes.
women snap and you'll shoot somebody, and, you know, then they cry on the court. And,
mm-hmm.
Well, he was abusing me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they let a man do it, and he's got life right off the bat.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is really true. And you were talking about kids saying where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the values of having an evaluator.
Mm-hmm.
I find the work to be really, really difficult, really stressful. I've done it for 18 years. Part of the reason I wrote the book was to talk to people about a better way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one of the values of having an evaluator or an advocate for your children. Because then we can find out what they want and why they want it. It isn't
right.
just what they want, but why they want it.
Now, is there a certain age that, you know, they have to be before you can be involved? Or can just a plaintiff or a defendant just say, hey, I want an evaluator to look at what's in the best interest of our child?
Yes, anyone can ask for that.
Okay.
And the children don't have to be any certain age.
Okay.
And one of the biggest misconceptions in Colorado, well, I think across the country, is that at a certain age, children can just say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
In Colorado, there is no age.
Oh, really?
There are states that have, like Georgia, I think, is 13. Because mm-hmm. I had a case one time where the kids ended up in Georgia, and mm-hmm. a therapist there said, well, this kid is 13. He can just say what he wants. But in Colorado, there is no age.
I thought in Colorado, if you were around a 13 age, that you could say, I want to live.
No, not in Colorado. There is
okay.
no age.
Okay.
So, again, one of the biggest misconceptions.
Yeah.
But they can have say-so through an evaluator.
Okay.
But again, I'm going to look at why they want it. And it isn't that at a certain age I'm going to let them have what they want. I've had teenagers. I had two teenage girls that wanted to be with mom more, and it's because mom was letting them stay out on the weekends until 1 in the morning. That's past legal curfew. So I said, no, that's not happening. But they want what they want sometimes for wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So even if they're older, I'm going to look at the reason they want whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I went through that. My daughter, I finally got custody of her at the age of about 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, she was the adult in her mother's home.
Yes.
So
parentified. We call that parentified.
Yeah, and I mean, really, we had an advocate. And the advocate went to talk with the mom, and the mom confessed to everything.
Mm.
The advocate came to my house and said, don't worry, she ain't going back.
Wow. He
didn't even ask me any questions, just said, no, don't worry, she's staying right here with you.
Wow.
But it's one of those, I saw it was hard for my daughter, even though for years I've been telling social service mm-hmm. that there was an issue going on at the house,
mm-hmm.
and they did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to that, you know, I'd end up getting custody of her, but she was so used to that lifestyle. When she was at her mother's house, she was an adult. At my
yes.
house, she was a child.
Yes.
So you're talking to a teenage kid
mm-hmm.
coming to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
Which way do they really want to go?
Mm-hmm.
They want to be an adult.
Right.
And
right.
so she got her way back into her mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I can still see the effects
mm-hmm.
of that today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let me ask you, and I know with one of the questions I thought about was fathers, and I witnessed this, a father finding out after all these years that his daughter was not his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to find out what that's you know, what you have to say about that, but we got to take another break.
Okay.
Then we're going to get into your book, really, because I want them to, the audience to know about your book. But you're watching The Father Show, and we are here with Dr. Marlene Bishop, and we are talking about the court system. And in a minute, we're going to be talking about her new book, Contentious Custody. And you're able to find this book, and she's going to tell you how. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Tell somebody else to join us, and we'll be right back. Welcome, everyone, and you are watching The Father Show, and we are here today with Dr. Marlene Bishop, and we are talking about contentious custody and all the things that goes around going to custody, going to court, and fighting for custody of your kid. And we were talking about before the last break, we were discussing what happens when a father has is going to court and he thinks he might not be the father of that child, and he wants to find out. And I know I witnessed where a father had been, he thought he was this girl's dad for the first about 10 years of her life. And come to find out, it wasn't.
That does happen.
Yeah. And it tore him up, rightfully so, because he's loved this little girl for so long.
Yes.
And thought that she was his, and the family thought it was his, and to find out that that really was not his daughter. Mm-hmm. However, the court made him still pay child support, mm-hmm. because that was the only dad that she knew.
Right. Right.
So, and you were mentioning that,
yes,
as well.
The upside to a situation like this, I mean, that's a tough situation. But if there's an upside, Colorado recognizes psychological parents.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you aren't the biological parent, if you are a psychological parent to that child, that's why he probably still had to pay child support.
Mm-hmm.
Because to her, that was dad.
Yeah, he couldn't just walk out.
Right. He can't just walk out.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the dad doesn't want to, and the children don't want him to.
Mm-hmm.
They're bonded. So they want to continue the relationship. So it's a good thing that Colorado recognizes psychological parent.
So what can a man do if he's in that position and he, you know, say, can he get a DNA test?
Yes.
Does it really make a difference?
It does, because sometimes it isn't a good relationship. And mm-hmm. sometimes either dad or child wants out.
Mm-hmm.
So it does do good. And that is one time when I say it is a good idea to get an attorney.
Yeah.
When it's a situation like that, you almost have to.
Because this dad wanted to get out.
Okay.
He wanted to get out of it because he come to find out that his daughter wasn't his daughter, and it was somebody he knew.
Mm.
And so, need to say, he was angry,
yes.
understandably so.
Yes.
And yeah, he wanted to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But the court system said, nope, you are the only father she knows,
mm-hmm.
and so you have to stay in her life.
I am guessing mother put him on the birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
and that is another way that makes a guy legally responsible. And I'm not an attorney. I always say I know enough to be dangerous. But I do know that is one way that somebody is legally responsible, is if you're put down as the father.
Mm.
Now, if you're not, and again, you'd have to consult an attorney, but I know there's a way to undo that and to get out of that. But again, they're going to look at psychologically what's best for this child.
Boy, I could keep going on.
Oh, yes.
About that one,
that's a tough one.
I know we want to move on to, you said parentified.
Yes.
Now, what is that?
Well, we were talking earlier about kids who become the parent in the situation, mm-hmm. the adult. And in the book, I talk about an 11-year-old girl. She had two twin sisters that were several years younger than she was. And she knew everything about what both of her parents were doing.
Mm-hmm.
One was running around drinking. The other had had several affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew it all. And kids, it's unhealthy for them to be parentified. But sometimes they want to be. They want to know all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And they want to be kind of in charge and taking care of everyone.
Yeah.
So in this case, I brought her in. I talked to the parents first. And I said, your daughter is not in a good place. And we need to get her out of the middle of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So parents were on board. But when we brought her in to talk to her, she was not on board. She grabbed hold of the arms of the chair and leaned forward and looked at me and said, but I need to know what's going on with my parents. I need to know.
Hmm.
And I said, no, you don't. Look at you. You need to be allowed to be a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she hated me. She did not like that at all. But 5 years later, she did come into my office, walked in one day. I knew her as soon as she walked in. She said, I don't know if you remember me. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. She said, I hated you when you worked with my family. And I said, yes, I know you did. And she said, but I want to thank you because you were the only person who let me be a kid. We have to let them be kids.
Yeah.
We cannot let them be parentified.
Yeah.
And not keep them in the middle of our conflict.
I agree with you 100%. And I'm sure, you know, people out there in the audience will agree if they sit down and think about it.
Yes.
And really look at it. Because a lot of people, I don't think they realize the harm that they're doing
right.
To their kids.
Right. It's not a healthy place for them to be.
No.
They love both of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to be in the middle of all of that.
Well,
they
need
to be kids.
Yeah. And one thing I always tell people is, you know, the kid will make their own judgment.
Right.
If you don't say anything.
Right. They'll figure it out.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you don't have to say anything.
No.
Just let them figure it out on their own. And it might take longer than you like it to take, but mm-hmm. they will figure it out.
They will.
Yeah.
And also, they can say something bad about the other parent, but you can't.
Oh, yeah.
They have that right, yeah. but you
just
don't.
Just sit there and say, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 No, don't say anything back.
Right.
But yeah, and that's hard.
It is.
I can tell you from experience that's hard.
Yes, but it is.
So I want to talk about your book.
Okay.
This book is Contentious Custody, and this is a book that Dr. Bishop has come out with, and it is one that I think a lot of parents need to read, either really before you go through a divorce,
yes.
and if not, you can still save your kid by reading it even after you've gone through divorce, because I'm sure you might find that there are some things that you have done that is harmful in the long run to your kid. You might not have thought so at that moment in time, but it is. So tell us more about your book.
Okay. So in the book, I talk about some of the cases that I've had, such as the one I just told you about.
Mm-hmm.
But what we talk about is doing this in a more positive way. And when I say doing this, having custody battles that aren't battles.
Yeah.
Doing it in a positive way, in a congenial way, and you can do that. And some people think they have to get an attorney, and I'm not saying that you never need an attorney, but people can work this out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
There are things such as divorce coaches. A lot of people don't know. ABA, American Bar Association,
mm-hmm.
recognizes a divorce coach as a type of mediator.
Okay.
And you can hire that person. I'm a certified divorce coach.
Okay.
But you can hire that person to help you just walk through the process and do this peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come to an impasse, then you defer to the coach. You may end up battling it out, but at least you don't have to fight about everything.
Yeah. And I know I've been through, like I said, both.
Yes.
And to be able to sit down with a mediator and say, this is what we're going to do. And my ex-wife and I agreed before we even walked in there that we would have 50-50 custody of our son. That was it. And regardless of what the court says, nobody's paying any child support. And that really worked very, very well, because I'm not a person that likes to fight. I will if you push me to that point, but I really don't like to. And to be able to go and say, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to, she can have that, I'm going to have this. And like I told you, I'm one of those, I walk away. You know, you can have all that stuff because I don't need it. But, and that's what we did. And it really saved us a lot of money, saved us a lot of headache. And my son went through that without a scar. Most importantly.
Most importantly, that is the way to take care of our kids, is to do it that way. Because there's emotional turmoil for everyone when we fight. And we don't have to do it that way.
Yeah, we don't. We really, and I, you know, I always say that I think it's a reaction that we are taught. You know, it's something that we've seen aunt, uncle, mom, dad, or somebody else go through it, and you know, we think that's the way we're supposed to act. Because this is how it's supposed to be done. And it's not.
No. That judge is going to know 2 hours of your lives. That's all they're going to hear. And if you want somebody who hears 2 hours of your lives to make a decision about your children, I mean, that's just crazy. You need to be in charge of that and in control of that.
So what is one thing that you would love to tell our audience about, you know, what you do and where they can contact you and how they could even get your book as well?
Well, they can contact me at Dr. Marlene at MarleneBizub.com. So Dr. Marlene at MarleneBizub, and it's MarleneBizub.com. And they can also call me at 719-641-5403. 719-641-5403, either for services to work this out in a peaceful manner or to get a copy of the book. It will be on Amazon, but we're not live yet. We will be shortly. But I've got some copies, and they can contact me for it. But probably the takeaway message I would give parents is, you don't have to fight it out. And when you have control of it, then the court doesn't have. That leaves it in your control, your hands.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the
show. You're welcome.
It has been a pleasure having you, and I'm looking forward to having you back on here again.
Thank you. Yes, I'll be back.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for today. But you can pick up this book, Contentious Custody, and you can call Dr. Bizub, and we will have the information on the credits at the end of the show. So thank you for joining us. We are so glad that you have. So God bless you. Have a great week. And don't forget, pick up her book. Give her a call and get it. We'll see you next week.